Good morning, how are we? I almost burst into song for old Danny Boy in the last hymn, and then I thought, no, I'll be out of context. Today, reading is from James chapter 4, 7 to 12, and it's on page 1215 of the Church Bible. That's 1215, James 4, 7 to 12. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Amen.
Thank you, David, for bringing the word today. As we all know, that we have been traveling with James, the book of James. Today we are going to see about speaking bad about others. We need to pray before going into that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for being there, instructing us, helping us, nourishing us, and bringing Holy Spirit within us. Be with us, Lord, when we are going to learn your word and meditate about that. We want to bring fruit from our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Certainly, rules exist for us to have a better life. They are written instructions given for the benefit of our lives. What do you see? What do you feel when you see such a signboard standing before you? Danger. Do not proceed beyond this point. Do we dare to try and see what lies behind? Or do we try to take a different step and proceed peacefully? James is a book of written instructions filled with do's and don'ts. It is like an instruction manual so that we can read quite often and check our spiritual life, where we are standing. Are we abiding all those rules what God has put before us? Shall we play this game, do's and don'ts? When I was teaching in the Sunday school before, we used to play this game, and children, it is one of their favorite games. They come to me many times asking, Amuta, shall we play this yes or no game? And me too, I like this game very much. And it is like a warming up exercise before going into the main lesson. We were playing there in the side hall. Now we are going to play this game. The instructions are, if the answer for the question is yes, the children were running towards the right side of the wall and they will go and touch the wall. If the answer is no, they will run towards the other side. If they are not sure about the answer, they will be standing in the middle. Well, in this setup, I know you are all good athletes and you love running. But because of all these chairs and the communion table here, and all the hurdles around, let us keep it simple. Let us say do for yes and don't for no. Shall we start the game? Repent. Where does it go? Do. Oh, I like the sign. Do. Fantastic. Deny himself. Do we need to deny ourselves? Do. Good. Yeah, very simple, isn't it? Worry about tomorrow. Oh, down, 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 down. Are we worrying? Born again. Middle? Okay, up. It has come up now. Born again. Swear. Very good. Show your arms, not this arms. Don't. It's between God and us. Make your own rules. Are we not making up our own rules at home? But good. Don't make your own rules. Submit to God. Do. Good. Resist the devil. Do resist the devil. Good. Come near to God. This. You can guess there is space only behind there. Slander others. Don't. Judge others. Don't. Well, you have given all correct answers. All correct. So I think that's the whole sermon about it today. It is done. It is finished. We can say the grace and go for a coffee. Yes, we know the answers. Today we are going to see how we are going to meditate upon these words and take the instructions from God into our hearts and to live a life out of it. Richard preached last Sunday about war and peace. Yeah? And he was mentioning about these things already. But if I include that as well today, it will make a complete one. So I'm doing this. What are all the do's from James 4, 7 to 8? Submit yourself to God. It is something we need to do towards God. Submitting ourselves, surrendering our lives, surrendering our motives, our ambitions, our future, our desires, everything into God's hands. And take nothing on our own hands. Second thing, it is towards the devil. What do we need to do that? Resist the devil. We won't be seeing a devil coming suddenly and standing before us as such with two horns. But it is about resisting the will of the devil. Resisting the discouraging thoughts that arise within us. Resisting the temptation that he brings. We may be praying for some particular issue in our life and might have given God's assurance and hope about that situation. Suddenly, a dejection, a discouragement comes about the same situation on the same evening. Do you know who is bringing all these unspiritual things? Well, it must be definitely not from the Holy Spirit. Remember during that time, say it out, telling him that I belong to God. I have no room for you. You know what happens? He will not walk away from us. He will flee away from us. I have experienced that in my personal life. We may be feeling up high sometimes with full of hope, faith in God, and suddenly you feel like something lost in you. About the same situation, you might be thinking, what is happening? But when you say it out, believe in God, I know what he does. He does always the best for me, and there is no availability for you here. He will flee from us. Having said that, it's not guaranteed that he will not come back again. He will come. He might come. Do you remember Jesus when he was in the wilderness? After all the temptations happened, the devil was saying at the end, "See, I'm leaving now. I will find an opportunity to come and see you." We need to be resistors of the devil. Third one, come near to God. It is about something we need to do ourselves. Taking all efforts through word, prayer, associating with brothers and sisters in Christ, taking the most efforts to keep us holy so that we can be drawn closer to God. All these things, do's, come under the session humble. Today we are going to see how to have harmony among ourselves, what we do not need to do. Under the humble, do you remember the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about the tree? It is in Daniel chapter 4. The tree was growing stronger and its height reached the top of the sky. And all the wild animals came and found shelter under the tree, and there were birds coming from all around directions and living in the branches. There were plenty of food scattered around and abundance of fruit in the tree. Suddenly, the messenger from heaven, he came down and said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Cut down the tree and chop off all the branches, and you will be driven out from the land and you will be living with the wild animals." Nebuchadnezzar didn't take the advice from Daniel when he was interpreting about the dream. Rather, he ignored that. 12 months later, when he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he uttered this, seeing the Babylon that he has made. "Is not this the great Babylon? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty." My power, my glory, my majesty. Who does normally utter such words? Do you know in the Lord's Prayer, we say that, "For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever." But here it is the other way around. And it happened. The dream came true. He was driven away and he was living with the wild animals and he was eating the grass like the ox. And his hair was growing like the feathers of eagle, and all his nails were growing like the claws of the bird. And he was there for 7 years like that. And then finally, he said, at the end of that time, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High, I honored and glorified him who lives forever." God makes the exalt to humble. Humble, if you see that, if we are not humble, the clear evidence is that we are completely captivated by pride. Pride does not allow us to be humble. Pride makes us to think that we are all correct and we are always correct. Pride is the root of all the sins. Like the sins we saw, like slandering, talking against each other and judging others. These are all the sins. The pride is the root cause of it. And if the pride is there, it will make us easily to judge the other people. James chapter 4 verse 11, it says, like, we should not speak against a brother or sister. Sometimes the pride overcomes and we quickly judge the people. It was in the morning hours, your father and a toddler boy was waiting in the station for the next train to arrive. The boy was very active and he was running here and there, and there was a bench kept there. He was climbing up and jumping down with a howling voice. The people there standing was really irritated and get annoyed. They were all disturbed. It was in the morning hour. They want to have a quiet time reading some newspaper or whatever. But this boy was disturbing the whole platform there. And a lady who was standing nearby the father, he came to the father and said, "Can't you discipline the child? He is such a disturbance to everyone." The father looked at the woman, filled with the tears, and he said, "He is active and he is happy now after the terrible, quiet, and horrific day we had together. We are just coming back from the hospital, leaving his mother, own mother, died on the deathbed." We sometimes see people externally. We don't know what is happening in their lives, and we quickly judge the people. James here in this verse, he is saying, brothers and sisters, all these don'ts. It is an advice for the church between fellow believers. If we are not learning here and practicing between ourselves, what are we going to take it outside into the world? If you see this verse 11 alone, there is a treasure in there. You will enjoy it. There are lots of questions and answers hidden inside. What we should not do? We should not slander one another. We should not speak against, or we should not judge them. Second question. What are we doing when we do this? We are speaking against the law and judges it. Speaking against the law. What is law? We saw that in James 2, the royal law that has been told. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing it right. This is the royal law. If we love someone, we will not judge them. We will always try to stand and support them, though they have done something against us. Love blinds their mistakes. Love forgives them. Love embraces people with their own faults. Love does not find fault in other people's life. That is the same love our Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, has shown to us, accepting us as such we are, with our faults, with our failures. That is the royal law, and God is asking us to show the same to other people. What is the third question? What happens if we judge the law? We are not keeping it, and finally, we are sitting on the judgment seat. We are not keeping the royal law. We are not obeying. We are not following the commandments God has given to us. Rather, we prefer to sit on the judgment seat. There, we are taking the duty of God. We are behaving like God, taking the judgment seat. Only God alone can judge us. There is no one on earth has given that authority to judge anyone else. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I hope none of us would be ready, will be keen in going before the Lord on the judgment day, Lord, judge me. We want to avoid that. In order to avoid that, let us not judge others. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. Jesus, when he came down to this earth, he refused to judge anyone. He said, you judge by human standards, I pass judgment on no one. He came as a humble human form. He came to love us. He came to seek for the lost. But he did not take the judgment seat. But one day, he will come back again. On the second coming, when he is going to come down in the glory of heaven, he will judge. So whatever he has been asked by the Father to do, he fulfilled that in a perfect way. And he is asking us, as a mortals, human mortals, we need to follow what Jesus has done. He did not judge, so let us not judge others. Do you remember the story of the woman caught up in the adultery? People brought her there before Jesus. They said, this woman has been caught up from the act of adultery. And they said that the law of Moses has commanded us to throw a stone at her to die. They brought the law also with them. They brought the judgment with them. Jesus never answered anything for that. He was just scribbling something on the ground. And they were keep on insisting him, what do you say, Master? What do you answer for this? Jesus was saying, if any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. After some time, the crowd was slowly dispersing. People were moving out one after another, leaving only Jesus and the woman. And Jesus asked the woman again, what happened to others? And the woman replied, nobody condemned me. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus did not condemn her. Jesus did not come for judgment when he came in the human flesh. This incident was so obvious, so deliberate. The sin has been exposed publicly, so everyone around knows that the particular woman has made some fault, some sin. But yet, even in that circumstance, Jesus is teaching us not to judge anyone. The judgment is in God's hands, and we are not here. He is the one who can make judgment. He is the one who can destroy it. And at the end of the passage, James is asking, who are you to judge others? We need to know our limitations. We need to know what God has asked us to do. Well, if you see any brother or sister finding with some fault or doing some sin, and it is really bothering you, there is an order that has been given in the scripture. According to the scripture, there is a procedure to do that. First one, if you see anyone commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray about it. If it is really bothering us, we need to go back and pray to the Lord, Lord, please save my brother. Please save my sister from that particular sin. That is the first one we need to do. And the second thing in Matthew, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Go and meet the person directly. Talk to him or her directly. If the Holy Spirit is really leading you, go and say that. Gently. Galatians, if you read that, there is a word added to that. Make it gently. restore them from the sin they have been doing. That is the way it should be. That is the harmony we can find. That is the way we can help out each other. Finally, slandering others and judging others. It is all because of lack of humility. If we are lacking in humbleness, the pride will empower us, and the pride will make us to think that we are the only people doing good in this world. And sometimes the pride can make us to think that we need to go and spread the news around, judge the people, talk behind them, slandering one another. That will really bring disaster. James was having that real concern over the church, and he wanted to tell to his lovable brothers and sisters, please do not slander one another. Do not talk against either. We see nowadays around us lots of atrocities happening around us. We heard about the Westminster bombing, and then immediately in Manchester, and then London Tower, the threat, terrorist attack, and recently the Kensington fire. Many things happening regularly and frequently. At this time of difficulty, as a church, we need to hold our hands together. We need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for the world. That is the burden God has given to us, to pray for one another, to pray for the souls that have been lost, to pray for the lives, to pray for the families, those who are really going through struggles, losing the loved ones. During this difficult time, let us concentrate on those things, holding harmony between ourselves, rather than yielding ourselves into slandering or talking against each other or talking bad of others. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And it is always new to us and it always refreshes us. 2,000 years ago, you have given these instructions, Lord, and you know that it will be suitable at any age of time. Lord, thank you for your guidance. Because of your care, because of your love, because of your mercy, you are teaching us these things. You don't want us to go astray. You don't want us to do any sins which is disgusting before your eyes. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your instruction. And on this Father's Day, as a father, you have instructed us. And as children, we need to receive it and obey and follow it in our life. Help us, Holy Spirit, walk with us in the week when we are entering in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.